welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever it's Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
Right, this week we'll be looking at Saturday's loss to bottom of the table Forfar, previewing the away trip to Falkirk, and we'll hear from Jim McAnally as well as Scott Brown and Lyle Cameron. Martin, how have you been? How are things?
Yeah, everything's good. Work picking up again before the Christmas rush, which is always nice. So, yeah, good start to December.
We're into December. We're into Advent calendar territory. Have you cracked open your Advent calendar yet?
No, I generally forgot this morning, but I had it when I came home. But I'll certainly make a note to my phone that every morning, 5 in the morning, chocolate to start the day with.
Just to keep you going, as they say. Right. It's a nice wee thing to look forward to after such a crappy year, I guess, is the advent calendars. Although any year is a good to get the advent calendars. And mine's just for the Bairns, by the way, I should point out.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, right. Let's look at Saturday's game then. Forfar, bottom of the table. Last week, and certainly the week before, we spoke about how important the two home games were against Dumbarton and Forfar for in terms of the season and how we are looking. After Saturday, how do you assess where we're at and how we're going?
It's almost like one step forward, two steps back. A very good result against Dumbarton. We praised how well we held on, how solid we looked for large periods of the game, and then followed it up with a disappointing performance and result. I know when you look at the stats of the game on Saturday, it looks like Peterhead were quite dominant. I think the stats are slightly misleading. I think we did have the better of the chances, but I don't think we put Forfar under that much pressure to warrant the 3 points. It is disappointing. I'm sure Jim and the players were disappointed afterwards. Looking at both games in idle, you're happy with the Dumbarton performance and result, and you're looking to follow up against Forfar, and I think we fell below par.
I guess if you looked at it and you think, well, you'll get 3 points out of those two games, you might have taken that, but considering how well we've been playing recently, anything other than a win against Forfar would have been seen as disappointing?
Yeah, I think it's maybe a mentality that needs to slightly change. You can't beat Dumbarton and then follow up with a performance at Forfar. You've got to, you could almost say the Dumbarton win was not fortunate, but it's one that when you look at the fixtures, you'd be happy to take a point. So the fact that we've taken maximum points, we've got to go and follow that up by beating Forfar. No point in beating Dumbarton, who we think and most people would anticipate them being in the playoffs, to then go and lose to a Forfar team which struggled last season and are struggling this season. And as you said at the top of the programme, it's their first win of the season. So overall, disappointed. Like I said, it's one step forward, two steps back at the moment.
Yeah, so on to the actual game then, there was the obvious change, Simon Ferry out injured again, Jason Brown came back in again after his suspension, so in intents and purposes I should say, the back four looked like a solid back four, and it was a back four you'd probably be quite happy to have in the team. As we'll sort of progress, maybe that was their best game. So it was a positive start. It looked pretty solid. There was an early chance that Ben Armour had off the line. And that kind of almost set the tone for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I thought the opening period of the game was good for both sides. Peterhead and Forfar. As you said, Ben Armour had a chance. And it's one of them, if it goes in with an early goal, you think the floodgates would open, but you think the Forfar's poor run and how well Peterhead had been playing in recent weeks, you'd be in for a good afternoon. But there was just periods of that first 10 minutes that you just felt things were going to go our way, and that transpired throughout the game, as the case may be. Disappointing. I don't think we worked their goalkeeper enough in the early parts of the game to put them under pressure. We allowed them to to reset almost. I felt that throughout the game. We spoke about Peterhead, they were going direct too quick. It was almost like once we had the ball on the back line or deep in our own half, it was how quick can we get it forward. But rather than trying to play through Forfar, it was direct balls and they were winning it, and their midfield was cleaning up. So I don't think that approach was the right one. It's all, you know, hindsight's a great thing, but we could see that during the game, and it took a long, long time for that to change with the players.
As you said, there was plenty of possession, plenty of chances as such. Scott Brown had what an effort. He sort of snatched at it and dragged it wide. Boyd had one as well. Both of those were set up by Ben Armour, who, again, I thought was probably the Peter's better player. Without really scoring himself, he was there to create the chances. So, again, it comes down to just that composure, I guess, in the final third.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a word that we use on Saturday. We sort of snatched at a few chances. I think Ben had two, as you said, Scott Brown, I think he maybe had two as well. You're just looking for that little bit of composure, somebody, not that extra touch, but just think exactly where they want to place it and execute it well. And I think towards the end we're snatching at it. We could see Forfar getting deeper and deeper, but the players were really trying to find that breakthrough, and it just wasn't coming. Disappointing. I really felt that this was a game didn't have to win, but if we're going to have a good season and really stay clear of that relegation battle, certainly a game that we couldn't get beaten. Disappointed, as I said. It's a frustrating result because the performances have been there in recent weeks and we've praised that, but we certainly fell short on Saturday.
And at the other end, the cracks were just starting to appear slightly. And a guy who just last week we were praising how well he was playing is Kieran Freeman. If he was going to have a bad game, everything went wrong, I guess, for him first half. He gifted an opportunity for Jordan Allen, I think it was, with a short back pass. And again, as the half kind of continued, that just sort of set the tone for the rest of the back four.
Yeah, absolutely. It set the tone, as you said. It's the first time that we've really criticised Kieran, but he set a standard that he fell short of. I think he'd admit that himself. You know, we spoke to him last week and he was enjoying his time, but I certainly think he'll have enjoyed Saturday. As you said, it was a short back pass. It set the tone because I didn't think him or the keeper really set, you know, got set for the rest of the half, and we struggled to deal with it. It's one of the back pass should never have been short, and it should have been cleared up. But good save from Joshua at the time, because although it's short, he still got to react and deal with it. And I think it was he palmed it, and then it was cleared by Kieran afterwards. So it just, as you said, the cracks were starting to appear, and we never really set until after the halftime team talk.
It would be easy for Josh Ray to give away a penalty in that kind of situation because he's, you know, he's got the forward coming at him, but he's dived at his feet. He's managed to clear it, and it wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the only time that he'd be called into action just before half time. But onto the goal, Bobby Barr with it. And if you see the goal again, you've seen it on social media. It comes from Peterhead's been dispossessed in the middle of the park. Gary Fraser gives it away, and then within a matter of seconds, the ball's in the back of the net.
Yeah, I think I said on Saturday through commentary, I was disappointed with Ryan Conroy, but taking it back that step further, and as you've rightly pointed out, Gary Fraser, he was a pattern of the game, took too long on the ball, dilly-dallied, dispossessed. And at the time, I think I said that, you know, Ryan was at like six and sevens, he was turning, he wasn't sure what way he was going. When I've looked at it back, you know, I was too harsh on him on Saturday because he's got a man wide, but he's also got Bobby Barr, who's laid off the pass coming towards him. So he's between a rock and a hard place, but if we'd done better with the ball in midfield, that would never have happened. It's a good ball in, but, you know, you could drive a bus between the two centre-halves for one of the shortest men in the park, as you rightly called it on Saturday, to leap up and, you know, put it in the back of the net. And Josh Ray couldn't have done nothing about it. The header was well past him. Disappointing from your point of view, and especially the timing of the goal as well.
Bobby Barr's not going to score many headers this season, if at all, in his career. He's just found that acre of space in the area. Nobody's trapped his run once he's picked up the ball on the edge of the area, and it's just one of those where nobody sort of tracked back. As you said, Gary Fraser did try and get back, but he was just he was nowhere near it.
You mentioned there that nobody tracked Bobby Barr. From the pass is played, there's Ryan Conroy's closest, there's another two players, but you've also got two centre-backs. They all watch the ball. When you watch it back, they all watch the ball. And you've got to be aware of where the ball is, obviously, but you've got to be aware of who's coming into the box. And I think there was Bobby Barr and there was a player at the back stick as well. So it was almost like a 4-on-2 in our favour. And he's gone in between the two centre halves, and that's a disappointing thing that there's been a challenge on him. Because I feel if there was a challenge on him, he wouldn't have scored.
That was kind of their style of play that they were going to play all game. It was just that almost allow Peterhead to come forward and then just try and hit on the counter attack with the likes of Allen and Shepherd and Barr, as we mentioned as well. They will all get forward quickly. And Mark Hill, I think it was, just sitting in the middle of the park, and he just sort of dictated everything that Forfar did. Literally, what, 60 seconds later, it could have easily been 2-0, and would have been really pulling our hair out then.
Yeah, we conceded a goal and we sort of went at sixes and sevens. I don't know whether they were debating who should have been picking up the player or not for the goal on Bobby Barr, but struggled to see the half out, and Josh Reyes made a really good save. At the time, I thought he was maybe the striker's maybe just offside, but looking back, he's not. And again, it's between the right back and the centre back. He's got an end, and Josh made a good save with his feet, but you could tell on Saturday he was absolute fuming with the defence, and rightly so, because although we were 1-0 down, you felt that if we got a goal in the game, we might go on to win it. But going 2-0 down, Forfar would have just sat back, and rightly so. So it was important that we didn't go 2-0 down, but my word, we certainly made it difficult for ourselves.
Yeah, and again, Josh has kept us in it, because as I said, 2-0 would have been absolutely criminal.
Yeah.
Them scoring from basically their only two chances, and then obviously at the other end, we kind of score would have just summed up things as they are. Half time, there was that one change. Gary McKenzie came on. He came on for Kyle Bailey, who I don't think he did anything particularly wrong. I guess maybe being overly harsh, he could have maybe taken any of that four off in the back line, because they weren't really performing that well. So I guess the easy option would be to take Bailey off and move Kieran Freeman to right back.
Yeah, I think Kieran has been better at right back. I'd maybe say than Bailey. I know Bailey had a really good game last week. As you said, there's an argument to say that any of the players could have come off. It certainly was another best 45 minutes as a back four. But the experience Gary Fraser showed when Gary McKenzie, when he came on, proved vital. I just felt on Saturday that when Gary did have the ball, things seemed to slow down that bit more. When we're a goal down, we're trying to move the ball quicker and get back in the game, and it would be maybe 1-2 touch, but when it got to McKenzie, it was like 3-4 touches and allowed Forfar to set. So I can see why Jim brought him on, but maybe in hindsight, with Freeman and Bailey being there, the ball might have been zipped about a wee bit quicker as we tried to get back into the game.
He obviously needed his experience just to kind of shore things up a little bit, but as, yeah, as you say, you then lose a little bit of that kind of directness, or that loss of tempo slightly. I know it was Gary's first game back since middle October, but surely he would recognise that, you know, you're 1-0 down against a team who hasn't won a game this season. You want to be trying to zip the ball about a little bit quicker and try and get it forward as quickly as possible, especially after when Cook and Lyle come on. You know, bigger guys up front with armour, surely you could fire it forward a bit quicker.
Yeah, it was weird because there was a distinct lack of tempo on Saturday, which is unusual for us because we normally do play at a good tempo. But we've seen when the passes were sort of fired into Boyd, he's got a good arena skill under his belt, and he was able to move the ball about quite quick, create half chances, get the ball out wide. Forfar were well set on Saturday, and it's been a pattern now for a number of seasons, but we struggle to break teams down. We're never going to be a team that win 3-4-0. But the chances, like I said at the start, you look at the stats and you think we've dominated the game and played really well, but they're slightly misleading because our long range shots are half chances that aren't really doing much. But I do think if the tempo is a bit quicker and we moved Forfar about a lot more, then their weaknesses, they were bottom of the table for a reason, then that gaps might have started to appear, but we sort of played into Forfar's hands for most of the game.
I think some of that stats as well would take into account the efforts that were blocked as well, which there were quite a few towards the end as well, because obviously Forfar quite rightly were defending for their lives, basically. You know, they got their noses in front, they didn't want to throw it away, and you could see that the determination, not just by their back four, but by their midfield to get back and help out and throw their bodies on the line just to stop Peter Heath from scoring.
Yeah, they were brilliant the last 20 minutes. I mean, I know we're wanting Peterhead to win, but if you flip it around, Forfar defended really well. They'd be quite happy with the chances it gave us. You know, I think one of the chances that's counted is Scott Brown from 25 yards out in his weaker left foot. Forfar would be happy with that all day long. I'm sure Scott will admit he's not going to be the finer man with his left foot often, but we struggled to adapt our game to Forfar. As I said, we allowed them to sit in, and rightly so, they've hung on. But it's frustrating because it's certainly a game that we could and probably should have won beforehand. I just think it was a wee bit of complacency set in, considering how well we've done against Dumbarton. I think that was maybe what was wrong, that we weren't focused from the word go. But as you said, the block shots, Forfar in the right place at the right time and defended for their lives.
And then when we did beat the goalkeeper, Mr. Gary Irvine managed to somehow clear a ball off the line. I guess using all his experience, all his knowledge of the game, very experienced defender, he's been around the block, so he knows what he's doing, but he won't block one like that or clear one like that off the line again. If he's ever done it in his career like that before, it was just so acrobatic, and everybody that was there thought it was in.
Yeah, we actually thought it was in, and then he somehow managed to clear it. Again, I've no idea how he's managed it. I'd be impressed if he managed to ever do it again. And it just sort of summed up our luck, that when we did get past the goalkeeper on the occasions that we did get a shot on target that was meaningful, then you've beaten a goalkeeper with Gary Irvine's there to clear it somehow. But again, he marshalled his defence on Saturday really well. And again, it just shows that experience that we were maybe lacking from our side, when you consider how at sixes and sevens we were for a 5-10 minute period in the first half.
Yeah, and as you said, you mentioned Scott Brown's efforts, one over the bar, a couple that were saved. He was obviously disappointed, but I want to mention the set pieces, the corners and the free kicks as well. With a lot of them and a lot of corners, I think the corner count got up to about 12, 13, 14 at one point.
Yeah.
And out of that 15, 14, maybe whatever it was, I think there was only really one that caused a problem. That was early on. It was the Ben Armour one that it was blocked. The set pieces were poor, and I think if you're gonna get that many in a game, you should be making at least one or two of those count.
Yes, poor. I think it's a bit polite. I think the set pieces have been awful, to be honest. So the corners were second half. Sorry, I'll start with the first half. They went straight into the keeper's arms. Nobody run about the goalkeeper, which I think is something that should be done anyway. You need to try and put the goalkeeper off. He was able to come and catch it. No pressure on him. And then in the second half, Gary McKenzie, who's a very tall, big lad, and yet we're putting it to the front post and he's able to go with his feet. That should have been lofted into his head and trying to win second balls, or if he's running at the front post, put it onto his head so he can knock it on. I just think we're set pieces. even free kicks from wide areas the last couple of weeks as well. You know, and it's not just one player. There's quite a few of them that struggle. I don't know if it's the conditions at Ballymore. I think they were that bad on Saturday compared to what they normally are. But we struggle with set pieces. And I think, as you rightly said, if we're getting so many in a game, you've got to make some of them count. And here's hoping that Jim has looked at that and seen, well, we've had so many set pieces, why we're not doing something with it, and look to rectify it.
As you said, there are a few. You know, you've got Conroy, you've got Fraser, Cook, Boyd. These guys all, you would think at some point we'd take set pieces and are comfortable at set pieces, but just for some reason we're going through a stage where we're not creating anything from these. And these are in a league where it's going to be so tight, that could be the difference, you know, just getting a goal from corners and free kicks and things like that.
It's strange because we had a set piece right at the death, right at the very, I think it was maybe the last kick of the game. And we had the free kick, lovely position, just on the edge of the box. But you didn't really fancy anybody. But no, I certainly know why I didn't really fancy anybody to step up and put it away or even get it on target. And in the end, it was blocked by the wall. And again, it just summed up the set pieces. You know, if you're four for, they've given away a free kick and they're disappointed at the time. But, you know, they're thinking, well, you know, they've had X amount of corners and free kicks and they've done nothing with it so far. Who's to say it would be any different this time?
Yeah.
The set piece have been disappointed. And like I said, I didn't fancy anybody to step up with any real conviction and put it away on Saturday.
Yeah, it's one of those games where we'll look back and say, well, we probably should have been winning it. But it's important that we don't sort of, certainly from a player's point of view as well, is not just sort of turning up and thinking that you are going to win.
No, we don't have any divine right, or any team does in this division, to turn up and win. I mean, you've seen how we struggled last season. We can put on a good performance, and then but the following week, it's, you know, it's like turning a tap. We're so hot and cold. And I was a prime example between one Saturday to another. It's disappointing. They've got to... We almost waited till we're 1-0 down before we really started to play as well, which is disappointing. You know, if 4-4 was a game, can you imagine if we'd scored early on and then maybe capitalised midway through the first half with a second goal? You'd almost feel the game, okay, 2-0 is precarious lead, but 2-0 at home against a team that's bottom, you would really fancy you to go and get all 3 points. So it's maybe a mentality thing, but they've got to be more ruthless in front of goal as well. You know, you make your own luck. But it's maybe just one of them days where it didn't go for us in front of goal as well as at the back. There's a few players played below par, but hopefully that's all out of our system in one game and can look to go forward because we've got a tricky couple of fixtures coming up, I should say.
Yeah, so let's hear what manager Jim Martinelli had to say then.
Hey Jim, disappointment, I guess, in the end.
I mean, disappointment at our first half performance. It was nowhere near good enough, and we were deservedly behind at half time. You know, I don't know why I haven't seen this play as poorly as that in a long time. And then the second half, I thought we went and played well. We played at a high tempo. We played some good stuff. The only criticism I've got is we didn't work the goalkeeper enough. But our goalkeeper's not seen the ball in the second half except for the free kick that was in the bar. So, you know, but it's kind of a, why do you wait till you're behind before you play with that intensity? So, from that point of view, it was disappointing because I actually thought the second half we were decent.
Is it even more frustrating how we didn't follow up with Dumbarton last week with a win today?
We just spoke about that there. I mean, this league is pretty ruthless, and if you play as poorly as we did in the first half, you'll suffer. You know, we made a mistake where we left them 1-1. Josh just made a good save, and then he made another good save with his feet near half time and all. So we were lucky that we were only kind of a wind-down at that stage. And the disappointing thing is that, you know, I didn't think at any point last week against Dumbarton, and this is the irony of football, we didn't play anywhere near as we did in the second half of the day.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, unless you're at the game, you don't see that. But, you know, we definitely, in the second half, that's the standard that's required. And now we've, you know, we've got a wee bit of competition for places now. We will be ruthless in team selection. If you're not playing to the standards that, that you've set, then, you know, you'll be the team.
I think we were a touch unlucky in the second half, though, with a couple of chances. I know there was a shot from Stephen Boyd that was cleared off the line, went spectacularly. There was a few shots that were just wide or just over.
I mean, we were, but the second half, you know, we're chasing. And I don't know why it takes you to be behind. I've seen the stats of the game, and I know if you look at stats and that, you're unlucky. But when I just look at our players and how we played in the first half, then that's no good enough, and that's how you can lose football matches. When you see how they can play in the second half, and you can see, you know, how we can pin them back, and we just never had done well enough with our final cross or our final ball let us down a wee bit, and we never worked the goalkeeper enough. Their goalkeeper's no way having a wonderful game, if you know what I mean. There was a lot of stuff that went in his arms or it was put on the bar. I think he might have saved the one in the first half because we should have scored for the first corner. I think it was Ben, if he point blank range, hit it off somebody. I don't know if it was the goalkeeper, but no. So it's disappointing. After last week, you want to call up and you've got two home games, and now we're getting to a run of tough fixtures away to, you know, the two big teams, and then obviously in between that is these fights. So it's tough, and it's going to be a tough league the whole season.
The goal that you did concede, one of the smallest guys in their team, free in the area, I guess that's a frustrating thing for you as well, that he's maybe been picked up and he's Aye. Been allowed to get a free header.
Well, to be honest, when we actually had the ball and lost it in the middle of the park, and we were counting attacking, and I was busy shouting for there was two guys at the back post for people to pull back onto them, and wee Bobby just popped up. Obviously he's made a good run for it. He was playing just off the striker, but you know that when I watch it again, there will be spare players in there, and it's the usual, you always ask them to attach themselves to somebody, but because space doesn't score goals, you know, but a lot of them stand in space, and you know, so we've paid the price, because you know, that's why at half time I couldn't get Gary on quick enough and you can see the presence that he brings to his Spubinia, you know what I mean? So it's good to get him back in, and hopefully he can help us, you know, defensively. I know we weren't too bad, but, you know, that wee bit of experience, I think, is required.
First half in particular, your defence seemed to be a bit of six and sevens, you know, a couple of times at 3 minutes of the ball, sort of dallied on it, lost possession, and it was a complete contrast for the games he has been playing in. He's been pretty solid, so I guess it's a bad time for him.
The one that he lets under he shot with the pass back, sorry, and it's maybe just played in his mind a wee bit. But I thought, you know, generally, you know, if you take that away, it was okay. But I mean, like, when you see the difference in him when he goes to right back and he's able to push on and you know, use his aggression. So, you know, we weren't good in the first half, all over the pitch.
Second half, you started off quick, fast kind of tempo. Was that obviously something you wanted to instill in them at half time?
Well, listen, we're at them all the time about tempo, because tempo is hard to play against. If you play at a good tempo and you get it up and you take things quick We just didn't do that in the first half, and that's the frustrating thing. And then when the other team gets something to hang on to, they start, you know, taking their time to do stuff, and everybody becomes frustrated, and so you know, that's it. So we just need to take it in the chin and move on. But you know, we'll hopefully learn for that today.
Is it positive that in the second half that we kept going? I think this time, maybe last year, once we went a goal down ahead, should have maybe dropped it. The second half, obviously, we've had our team top, but it came right out for it.
Well, I mean, I didn't expect anything otherwise, to be honest, because they have shown a good attitude. And, you know, I just think, even when they see, if you look at the team in the first half, there wasn't a lot of experience in that team, you know. And I think when you see Big Gary going on at half time, and you see the influence that he has, and you know, we've not got Simon today. So all these things are a factor. I mean, if Simon plays, Simon makes them take the ball and make them play at that tempo. And you know, we still try to do that for the side, but you know, like say boys like Andy McCarthy and that day were away off where they've been. And when that happens and you're playing against a team that's, you know, as determined as Forfar were, you know, it's tough, and you've got to win your battle. You know, no matter who you're playing against, you've got to win your battle. And we didn't do that in the first half.
Just makes next week's game even more difficult now then.
Okay, listen, every game's difficult, aye. Every game's difficult. The thing is, I mean, I'm sure Stuart would agree, this is your bread and butter. As far as, you know, whatever league we're in, we need to make sure that we, you know, we're winning these games, and I'm sure Stuart will say the same thing, that was a big game for them. A
couple of interesting points he makes there. Firstly, he kind of obviously admits that Fraser and McCarthy in midfield didn't have their best games. They're off slightly. And he also said as well that he looked to be ruthless in his team selection if you aren't playing great. That's something maybe that he was maybe guilty of not doing last season. He sort of stuck with, or tried to stick with the guys, the 11 or 12 or 14 players that he had, and just in the hope that they would turn round their form. But maybe something's just changed in his attitude slightly there.
Yeah, it's quite refreshing to hear. It just shows you how disappointed he was with the result and the performance on Saturday as well. We mentioned when we recorded after the transfer window how we felt that the players who'd come in, they could all do, you know, a couple of positions. And I think we're going to start to see that over the next couple of weeks. Players are now coming back from the injuries. I think Isaac Lane will be out for a period of time, and Josh Mulligan. But the rest of the guys you would think would be in the squad. And I think there could be changes for the game on Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised to see 3-4 changes. And it maybe is a good thing, because players who we've been disappointed with Gary Fraser for the last couple of weeks now. So, you know, maybe a weekend on the bench might do him some good, just to refocus again and think, well, you know, if there is players who are here that are going to take my place. And, you know, it's young players coming through. We've got Lyle Cameron, he's on loan. But, you know, he's itching to play football. And if he's going to get a run in the team because someone else is not performing, then it might just be the catalyst for him to kick on as well and play really well and stake a claim to be in the first team. So it could be a good thing that Jim has quite openly said that he's looking to make changes.
He also mentioned as well the fact that Simon Ferry wasn't playing. We've mentioned numerous times in previous episodes about how good Simon is at dictating the tempo, dictating how Peterhead play. What's more obvious is when he's not there, because nobody else can sort of take that role. He's tried, I think he tried both Scott Brown and Gary Fraser on Saturday to try and have that sort of sit-in role and try and dictate the tempo. It's not in their games to do that. They like to get forward and they like to get into the box and be more sort of box-to-box. So yes, it's good having a player like Simon, but for a guy like him, there's not an obvious replacement. And that could be not just long-term, but short-term as well, a problem.
Yeah, I think it is a problem now, because as you said, when he wasn't playing on Saturday and we missed him, he dictates that tempo so well. And it sort of determines how well we're going to play, if how well Simon is and how well he dictates the tempo. And with that not being there on Saturday, it was quite evident. It's probably something you can't install into a person's game now. It either comes naturally to them or it doesn't. And we all know that Simon likes to talk. So, you know, it's naturally for him going to be his sort of role within the team. But you can see that from the sidelines as well. Every ball Simon's kicking, or he's telling the players to encourage them, or, you know, good passes, or on the flip side, if they're nadying well. But there needs to be someone on the park that, you know, steps up. It's okay having good players and a good team, but if there's nobody to take control of it on the park, there's only so much Jim can do from the bench. It's got to come from the players within themselves to kick on and see when there's a problem and try and rectify it.
He's only 32, and he's going to be 33 in January. So you'd like to think he's got another, you know, 2-3 years. Anyway, we're not putting him out to pasture already, but it's a specialised sort of role he's got within the team. And as I said, it's obvious when he's not there that we need somebody else to come in and replace him. And we haven't found that yet, but that's maybe something Jim's maybe got in the pipeline long term.
Yeah, obviously we're hoping that Simon's going to be around for a couple more years yet in the team. But, you know, there is certain games with the artificial pitch that Simon doesn't play in. So, you know, even if he's fully fit, you don't get him in them games. So it is something that Jim maybe needs to look at. Can you get someone in January? We don't know if the budget's there or would it be next summer. But just something to maybe start thinking on, because the tempo of the game is crucial. And if Simon's not there to do that, then we do struggle.
Right, let's hear from Captain Scott Brown and see what he had to say.
Okay, Scott, disappointing result.
Aye, rubbish result. I'm going to be honest, if we want to do well this year, these are the games we need to win. It's good to win last week, obviously, but following up with that, it's a bit chite, though, to be honest.
What do you think is the difference there? Because you seem to kind of carry on and the chances were there, but...
Chances were there, but you need to take them. I'm probably guilty of that. I've missed 2 or 3 chances as well, but if you lose a silly goal, and you can't give teams like at the bottom of the league that something to hang on to and defend, it's hard because you spend the whole second half trying to beat them down and you don't know because they've got so many men behind them.
Is it a certain thing that you were creating the chances and just need taking them, or... General.
Well, it was a strange game to be fair, because obviously they scored and then they had a chance again to go through up, and it was, that would have been criminal really, but obviously it was a goal before half time, it gives you a mountain to climb the second half and it's tough, but I did feel like we created enough chances, but it's not good enough really. I mean, it's a game that, as I say, we want to do well and make the playoffs, if we need to be winning, it's not good enough.
Is it more annoying last week how well we played against Dumbarton to follow up their performance?
It's going to be a long season if we keep playing well and then don't play well the next week. It's something that we were guilty of last season as well. We'd get a good win and then, you know, really follow up with a good run. It's criminal really. It's how the teams like Montrose and East Fife that challenged for the playoffs last year, they go and win 2, 3, 4 games in a row, and something that we need to pick up on if we're going to do well in this league. We've got 2 hard games coming up now against Falkirk and Partick in the next 3 games, and obviously these 5 that we need to go and win. We need to go and win at least 2 of the games, probably, to say that we've had a no bad start to this year.
The manager talked about lack of intensity in the first half. What do you put something like that down to? Because obviously you had a good win last week, like, since it wasn't there.
Probably a bit of complacency. I mean, you think that you beat Dumbarton, and we'd just turn up with them, beat Falkirk at the bottom of the league, and we know that this league's not like that. It's, every game's a challenge. We proved that against teams like Rafe in that last year, and obviously against Dundee United at the start of the season, that no games are given. You need to work hard, and you need to work harder than the other team before you play through them.
Your chances that you had one out of the bar, and you made the keeper make a couple of saves as well, but I guess the one that you fired out of the bar would be the one you'd be looking back on, I think.
Yeah, it's the one that I'd probably look back on and think I should have done better. Mm-hmm. Took a really good first touch, to be fair, and it sat perfectly, but it's one of the things, it's like, when it's not going for you, it's one of them that you look back and think, should have done a wee bit better than that.
Right, we're going to hear from young Lyle Cameron now as well.
Yeah, we never really got started in the first half and get a bit more respect and yeah, this season. And we just never started until the second half and we should have got a goal back, but just rubbish pretty much.
Did you feel like the first half that you were on top and maybe deserved to be at least level?
Well, we had a really good chance very early when it was just on bobbing about the goal line and no one stuck it in, and I had a chance. The chance was offside, which probably wasn't, and then we gave away a cheap goal, and since then you're chasing the game and they did well, just sat in against us and let us play. But yeah, we didn't deserve it. I wouldn't say we deserved to lose the game, that's for sure.
Was that a game that you felt that you could come into and win?
I think that's where we shot ourselves in the foot. We came into the game thinking we were going to come up here and beat them easily, but that's not how it goes in this league. Everyone's easy to get a point anywhere, so yeah, that's what we did wrong, I'd say.
Do you think it was complacency to set in? Do you think you expected to come up with a win? But it's generally seen that it's a very tough league.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone in the league can take points off anybody. You can see that with other top teams getting beat, but Yeah, I'd say we just came into the game too confident. We didn't get one start at the start. They looked like they wanted it more than us in the first half, and that's what happened. They got the goal early, and we never ever got one back, so it's annoying.
Second half, I guess the tempo was picked up slightly. You made the keeper work a little bit more, but need to the chances that you maybe would have or liked to have taken. Spoke to Scott Brown, he kind of fired one over and things like that. But the chances were there, but you just didn't sort of take them. Was that the frustrating thing?
Yeah, we made a few chances, not many clear-cut ones, I wouldn't say. They defended well in the second half. We never worked the keeper properly. He had a few easy enough saves, but even corners, when Gaz went in headers and never capitalised on that, never stuck one for him to win. So I feel like we did make a couple of chances, but nothing too clear that we should have put away.
So, when a team like that, it just sort of sit back and just allow you to come at them and defend in numbers, does it become difficult to break down?
It does, but as you've seen, our biggest chance was cleared off the line. Was a great clearance. I don't know how you managed that. But that's my old coach, so I don't know how he done that. yeah, so that was a great chance there. But I don't know, there's just so many bodies back. Eh? We can try and swing the ball in the box. They'll have three men to our one man, so it's hard, but we still should have won the game, I'd say.
Yeah. And you, is it on a personal note then, how are you settling into Peterhead? How are you liking life up here?
I'm enjoying it. I'm hopefully getting a start again today. Hope to keep getting more game time and keep getting some more minutes under my belt and more experience, because that's what I need really. And hopefully some score more goals and need more goals under my belt. So
was that the attraction of coming here, knowing that you would get game time?
I didn't really know. It was kind of just last minute thing. I heard the night before that I decided that they were looking at me. There's another couple of clubs I could have went to as well, but I chose to come up here because we played them in a friendly twice and liked the way they played football. So I thought this was the right place to come, and I've enjoyed it so far, and hopefully it keeps going to get some more better results.
You've played in a couple of different roles. What kind of role do you see yourself playing long term?
See, I'm a midfielder, but when I came here I started playing on the right, so I've just started playing the right. I've only played maybe 5 games out there. I'm getting more used to it now, but I'm starting to enjoy it more, so I'm not really too sure. I like the number 10 just in behind.
Yeah.
I just like going forward and creating chances, to be honest. So
you're near the biggest of lads, so do you notice a difference when you're playing against a lot of big guys?
Yeah, no, physically sometimes, but at the same time, someone's bigger, you can run past them easier, I think. So it doesn't affect me too much. Yeah, people look at me and think he's small, just win headers against him, shove him out of the way, but I don't really look at it like that. I just think if he's big, I'll just run past and hopefully he can.
Do you think folk look at you and think, oh, he's just going to be easy, brush off, or just... Aye.
Definitely, it's kind of an easy way to portray me and look at me, but it's probably true, I'm not the strongest or the biggest, but I try, I suppose. I think I actually won a header today, and that's not like me, but...
It's the first time, sorry.
Take him to give me.
Excellent. Like, cheers. Thanks for that.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So that was Scott Brown and Lyle Cameron there. Both more or less saying that they came into the game thinking that they'd already won and that there was a bit of complacency. It kicked in before the game. That's something obviously you wouldn't like to see too often.
No, absolutely. Especially if Lyle Cameron, a very young player, making his way in the game, it's disappointing to hear comments like that, but at the same time it's refreshing that they're so open. But it's a wrong attitude to have to go into a game thinking that you're just going to turn up and win, and that's partly the problem, or the reason that we didn't get 3 points on Saturday, is because of the attitude. You cannot go into the park thinking that you just turn up and win. It doesn't work like that. They have to earn it and they've got to work hard. They say their work ethic wasn't there, or the commitment, but the mentality is wrong, and hopefully that's something Jim immediately stamps out after hearing them comments.
Scott Brown mentioned the P word, and I mean playoff, which I guess was something that we didn't really sort of think about prior to the season starting, but he's obviously, and maybe some of the other players as well, is thinking that if they got off to a good start, a playoff position could be a possibility. But as he says as well, you can't be dropping points against teams like Forfar if you want to get into that playoff.
If you're dropping points to Forfar, the only playoff you're looking at is relegation playoff. You know, had he come out with a comment after the Dumbarton game saying that we're looking for promotion playoffs, you can agree with that, because that is the sort of game last season that we wouldn't have held on for the win. But in the space of a week, I don't know, that Dumbarton game, it could be... It sounds daft, could be the worst thing to happen, because they got complacent and they think now they're just going to turn up and win games and look at promotion playoff. the feet need to be firmly back on the ground and think, you know, first of all, it's staying in the division. And then you work towards, you know, being secure in mid-table and then looking at promotion playoffs. It's nice to hear the players that are thinking that we can get promotion playoffs, but if you put in a performance the way we did against Forfar most weeks, then you've absolutely no chance.
Yeah, and as you mentioned as well, that the next run of games is going to be very, very difficult. Two away against Falkirk and Partick Thistle, and one against East Fife at home. Somewhere in between those two. So obviously we'll talk about the Falkirk game, which is the next one. It's going to be tough, but I think now it's going to be even more tough because I just think that Falkirk are just hitting a bit of a form after maybe a little bit of uncertainty at the start of the season.
Yeah, when we left on Saturday, and obviously you're looking at the next couple of fixtures, and I thought Falkirk away is going to be a hell of a tough game, and it will be, but I'm also thinking it might be the perfect time to play them. After the result and the performance on Saturday that the players and Jim's not happy with, it might be that sort of game that they've nothing to lose in terms of we're probably not expected to go down there and get anything. Falkirk, with the greatest respect, they'll be expecting to win the game. So it might be a blessing for us that we're on, you know, we're playing Falkirk away. We're not expected to do anything but go down and put in a performance with potentially three or four changes. But then you do play East Fife afterwards. And as you said, it's a tricky run coming up, which makes Saturday even more disappointing and frustrating that we didn't at least get a point, but more so the fact that we've thrown away three.
It's almost the reverse of this last Saturday where we're expected to beat Forfar. Forfar aren't expected to get anything. So now it's the opposite, whereas we're expected to get nothing doing it at Falkirk, and Falkirk are expected. So different mentalities. However, I would say that the last season's results would suggest that it's going to be extremely difficult. Just the one goal scored in the four games. There was a 3-0, 3-1 and 4-0 losses, other than the 0-0. So it's going to be really, really, really tough.
Yeah, I think one of them games, two were on the receiving end of a few poor refereeing decisions. Hopefully we get the break on Saturday and we can try and get something. Trying to be upbeat and positive about a away game at Falkirk is not easy, but we've got to put in a performance that we did against Dumbarton and being well organised, because if we put anything close to what we did against Forfar, then we'll certainly be a well-beaten team.
They're starting, as I said, to hit a bit of form. They're unbeaten in the league, 4 wins, 2 draws. They've got 3 clean sheets out of those 6 games as well. David McCracken and Lee Miller's got them well drilled. It's funny because they've got a great experienced defender as one of their managers, and then they've got a great experienced forward as their other managers as well. So at both ends, they're well covered. And I just think if we snatch a 1-0, that would be. that would be great. If we can get away with a draw, I think that would be even better.
Yeah, I think I'm struggling to see where we get the win from, but I would take a point right here and right now. I certainly think a point would be a good result, but it's going to be a difficult afternoon. We've spoken so many times last season about we go away to it was Raith and Falkirk, and we concede early on. Again, it's something that we cannot do. If you want to take anything from the game, it's got to be solid in the first 20 minutes. Normally you say try and frustrate the crowd, but that's not going to be an issue at the moment. But frustrate Falkirk and their players, because you know, you'll probably hear them even more so getting frustrated and annoyed if they're half an hour, if they're limited to very few chances to win the game. But I'm expecting a very tough afternoon on Saturday.
And one thing with Clonidy, as you said, is obviously Nate concede early. At the other end, we kind of leave Ben Armour exposed or isolated up front, because quite often on Saturday, the there was nobody around about him to get the second balls. It wasn't until Boyd, I think, moved into a more sort of central role that kind of changed slightly. Given that it's away from home at Falkirk, he's not going to play two up front, you wouldn't think. So whoever is then playing in midfield or out wide, they need to get up close to him and support him as much as possible.
Yeah, we heard that quite a few times on Saturday, you know, the dugout shouting for Ben to hold up the ball, and they did, to allow others to come into the game. But as you said, he kind of become isolated, because once you've got that massive gap, it'll be so easy for Falkirk to mop it up. So whoever's going to be, whether it be that advanced midfielder or, you know, one in behind the striker sort of thing, they've got to be closer to Ben, because he's not the tallest, but he will run the defence, you'd like to think, for most of the game. But there's no point lumping into an area and giving him something to chase if you're not going to try and follow up and chase it with him and give him support. So as you said, there's got to be somebody closer to him than there was on Saturday.
And just to kind of point out how tight this league is, before last Saturday's game, had results gone our way and we'd won it, we could have been up as high as fourth. If the results go against us and we lose, we could actually be sitting second bottom. It just shows you how tight things are, and how a bad run or a good run on the other side can get you up and doing this league.
Yeah, we've spoken about it many times before that it's a division where anybody can beat anybody, and we pointed it out at Montrose last season. They didn't win any other first six or seven, was it? And then they went unbeaten in nine. It just shows you put a good run together, you can do something, which, again, makes Saturday even more annoying, because if you put back-to-back wins, which is something we didn't really often in the league, we could have been up to fourth, and you're looking at, you know, if you give Falkirk a tough game and a run for their money, then you're looking to cement in the top four. It's a crazy league that anybody can beat anybody, but it's so frustrating when you don't win your home games and put in a performance like we did.
Yeah, and if the result does go bad, we're comforted in the knowledge that we'll have our advent calendars to fall back on, and whatever the sweetie might be that day. Hopefully it's a big sweetie on the 5th. Right, anyway, that'll be it for this week's episode. My thanks to Martin, as always, for joining me. And we'd both like to thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week, so we'll see you all again then. Cheers.